to the armor of God a little bit, and you'll look in verse number 14, and it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." We looked at a lot of different things concerning the truth, didn't we? Bottom line, it can all be summed up as just this: without the truth, we have nothing. You'll never accomplish anything. There'll always be that vacancy, that emptiness in your heart, that void of always wanting to search for something else in life if you're not building your life on the truth. The truth makes all the difference. And you've got to have the truth before you're going to put on any other form of the armor of God. But continuing our series in that very same verse, standing against the dark world of warfare, we are now presented, and you notice the next words in verse number 14, with the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians chapter 6, and this portion of Scripture is written by the Apostle Paul under divine inspiration, the inspiration of God. It's written to us today, and what it is speaking to saved people. It's speaking to believers. If you don't know that you're a child of God, if you're saved and you're on your way to heaven and you've never had that experience, that life-changing moment where you asked Him to come into your life, you're not going to understand any of this. And it's not even going to be available to you as a lost person. You see, spiritual warfare, it is very real. Our ladies in our Thursday night ministry learned that, didn't you, ladies? You learned how real and how vivid this is. And I think it's good every once in a while to see that the devil is after us, to understand that this thing is real and he's trying to destroy lives. But when we look at these words, the breastplate of righteousness, that's really all we have on it, isn't it? It's about all that is really said, and it doesn't seem like there is much there for us to learn. But when we really break it down and we begin to study, again, the context, the clock, and the culture of the Word of God, that's what matters. You begin to learn that this breastplate offers far more than we see on the surface. And so I want to speak to you this morning for a little while simply on this truth: breastplate, standard issue. Breastplate, standard issue. About three or so weeks ago, as I just completed the first message on a Sunday morning in this series on standing against the dark world of warfare, one of our young fellows, little Trip Asher, came up to me after the service. He reminded me of something that happened two or three years ago, and how on a Wednesday night I had gone downstairs. One of the other guys was preaching, and I was with our Great Commission kids downstairs on that Wednesday night, and I was with the leaders, and they were teaching a class that night, and really had been in a series similar to how we are out of Ephesians chapter 6, and they were talking about the armor of God. And they had all these various forms of makeshift type armor of God gear that they had. They had a helmet, and they gave me the helmet. They had a little sword, a little toy sword, and they gave me the sword. And then they had the shield, and they gave me the shield as well. And you can see it there. And then they had some sandals as well, if I'm not mistaken. And they gave me some sandals, but y'all know how I feel about feet, so I wasn't putting those sandals on. So they gave me all of these various forms and these little ideas and pictures of the armor of God. And then they stood me up in front of the class. Go ahead, Jared, you can play it. And they started shooting Nerfs at me, and Nerf guns and darts and arrows and that sort of thing. And my job, of course, was to war them off and to fight them off. And naturally, with my cat-like reflexes, I did very, very well at it, as they were all coming at me and shooting at me and letting me see that. And it was a very entertaining time, and it was a really, really good memory. A lot of things to remember about it, but I tell you, the one thing that touched my heart the most about it all is here we were 2 or 3 years later, and little Trip Asher still remembered that, even when he was a younger little fella, and it stuck in his mind of how serious this thing is. The spiritual warfare and the battle that we are in, and we illustrated in that time, and you could see on the picture that there was a vest that they had that we used as the breastplate, and we used that as a piece of the armor. And he remembered those things, and he remembered that actual breastplate. You see, when we as adults think about spiritual warfare, and when we think about breastplates, do we not automatically, our minds go to the devil shooting arrows of danger at us? And the breastplate is to protect us from all of these forms of satanic attacks spiritually that come against us. And that's absolutely true. That is the case. And we do use the breastplate spiritually, just as the Roman army used it in ancient Rome, and in this case, Jerusalem, and all around the world, to protect themselves from literal warfare. And the picture here, of course, spiritual warfare is the same to be used as the armor of Rome did, to protect ourselves from all of the enemies. But when we study it, it is far more beyond in this breastplate. It is so much more than just something to protect us in battle. And there are a few things out of this that I've learned as I've studied, and I want to share them with you on this Sunday morning. Three truths, and I want you to get them in your heart. Write them down if you can, and hold on to these and apply these truths to your life. Because when we talk about breastplate standard issue, we are learning that the breastplate, it was the armor of vitality, or the protection of vitality. Vitality, we understand what that word is really meaning when we use that word. It is really just speaking of a distinguishment of the living from the non-living. That is vitality in this instance. So because Paul, in this, as we have studied, he was chained to a Roman soldier. He was under arrest at this point, and he was chained to a Roman soldier. All he saw every day, all day long, was Roman armor. So what we are seeing here, everything that we are reading, that he is conveying to us on the pages of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, it is simply being written as a spiritual example from an earthly experience. He's letting us know something as an illustration that you and I as believers, we need to embrace as ourselves, that he was looking and he was living in his own life. And so when we talk about breastplate standard issue, we are reminded of how throughout life we can all identify with this. There are certain things that are just standard issue. They come standard with things in life, don't they? I mean, think about it. You go and get a Nutty Buddy ice cream. It just comes standard with it. When you go and buy you a brand new automobile, airbags, they just come standard with it. You go get you a new airbag, iPad, internet capability, it just comes standard with it. If you go and you buy a coach airline ticket, discomfort, it just comes standard with it. There are some things that are just standard that comes in life, right? You follow me? But when we talk about the breastplate being standard issue, the fact of the matter is every piece of the armor of God is a standard issue. You get saved, it is standard issue. It is something that you and I need. But there are some principles and there are some truth having to do with vitality that separates this breastplate from the other armor of God that is given in this passage of Scripture. And this, it is very distinct and it's very unique. And I want you to get them. And we think about this vitality. And we think, first of all, about how that there is a vitality of purity. A vitality of purity in this. Now follow me. Because the soldier, this Roman soldier, his breastplate, it protected him. The upper vital organs of his body. That's what the breastplate was actually designed to protect us from. And in the upper vital organs of the body, what it really was the heart and the lung. That is the main vital upper organs of the body. And so as Paul is sitting there and as he is writing with his pen under divine inspiration, and he is writing down this spiritual application from this earthly example, he looks and he sees the armor of that Roman soldier, and he sees that breastplate. And he says, my goodness, the child of God needs a breastplate to be able to survive in spiritual warfare today. He needs a breastplate that will protect the vital organs of his spiritual life. And in this case, he is referring literally to the heart. You see, one of the most key areas to you and I living not just a fruitful but a long-lasting spiritual life, it is the protection of our heart. It is keeping our heart pure. It is keeping our heart right with God. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Thy heart with all diligence. It's not talking about a physical heart, of course. It's talking about your heart for God. It's talking about your burden. It's talking about your desire, your drive to know God, to love God, to serve the Lord in every way. Keep your heart with all diligence, he says. And that word diligence, that is given to you. It is a word, it's a very interesting word. It is really giving the idea of being someone who is posted guard, to be able to guard the people, or maybe even the prisoners in Paul's case that we are going to find in their ancient day. And that's what he is talking about here. You've got to keep your heart that diligent, as if you were a guard back in these ancient days, the guards that would guard their protectees, you know, a very important person. Maybe the emperor, or even in this case, a key prisoner. These were carefully selected guards. They were very, very well trained, and they were said to be the best of the best in the field by which that they served. And the fact is, it was a very, very big job, because if anything happened to the protectees that they were guarding, be it with assassination or be it with escape or whatever it might be, the guard that was charged to be able to protect them, they paid for that with their very own life. They had to give their life if they messed up in their guarding assignment. And so that is the diligence that Paul is saying that you and I have got to guard our spiritual heart with. It is with that kind of diligence you've got to guard it literally with your own life. Because if your heart gets corrupted, if your heart gets into a situation where it is compromised spiritually, you will have no vital spiritual life. You will never accomplish anything spiritually for the Lord. And then he goes on in that same verse in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, and he tells us how and why this is so important when he goes on to say, for out of it, out of what? For out of our heart are the matters, are the issues of life. Out of our heart are all the issues of life. That word issue, you cannot miss it. It is given to us in the plural, and it is telling us that there are multiple, there are many different, there are a host of different matters in life that can compromise and corrupt our heart. How many of you can identify with that today? There's not just one thing that will corrupt your heart, but in this wicked, filthy world we're living in, there is corruption for our spiritual heart, our vitality on every side of us. This word is actually speaking of a geographical boundary. It is speaking of a border. It is speaking of a line, so to speak, that the child of God simply cannot cross if we have any hope of remaining in the spiritual safety of the Lord's land of fellowship. Now, I understand clearly, ladies and gentlemen, that it is unpopular in our 2024 world to say that there are things that a Christian simply cannot do. But you and I need to understand there are simply some lines that a child of God and a believer, we cannot cross. Amen. If we want to remain spiritually strong, if we want to remain right with God, if we want to remain protected in all of the armor in the middle of all this spiritual warfare, there are some lines that we cannot cross. The believer even wanting to cross those lines, it is a picture that we have a heart problem. There is an issue with our heart, something that is not right with God. But friends, if we do not guard our heart, if we do not protect our heart from the corruption that is out there on all sides, that is why we are going to continue to keep falling on the spiritual battlefields of life. That's why we will never be able to get traction. Next week, we are going to dedicate children to the Lord. It has nothing to do with their salvation. We're not baptizing them. It has nothing to do with any of those. It is a mom and a dad who understand that they have a vast responsibility to train up their children in the way that they need to go, because we understand the importance of teaching our children early that they need to get their heart, and they need to keep their heart pure and their heart right with God in every way. Now, let's be honest, in the day that we are living right now, isn't it true that it is just getting harder and harder and harder, right, just to have a pure heart? Amen. just to have a pure mind, just to live a pure life in the midst of the filth that we are in today. So much filth. It's everywhere, and it is corrupting us. And this is why that we are to daily, with faith and with diligence in our heart, with every bit of ability that we have through God and His help, to put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart, that most vital organ. And so it is a vitality of purity to keep our heart pure. But He takes it a step further beyond a vitality of purity, but a vitality as well of passion. Remember this, not only was that breastplate to guard and protect the vital organ of the heart, but do you remember the other one was the lungs that the breastplate would protect? If you took one blow to the heart, one blow to the lungs, it was sure, it was sudden death. And so not only did the breastplate protect the heart, but the breastplate, it protected the lungs as well. You see, the lungs is not only where we are granted life, it's where that we are given the propelling of air that goes through our body that grants life, but it is also giving us the force that we need to live life with great passion. You see, friends, in our own human bodies, when our heart and our lungs get compromised and we cannot process air through our bodies, don't you know you can't even hardly pick up a glass of milk and drink it without getting out of breath? You can't walk to the mailbox. You can't even hardly breathe at times. And we learned that through COVID. It was a disease that attacked the lungs. And so here the Apostle Paul is writing to us and saying, you've got to protect not just the heart with the breastplate, but you've got to protect the other vital organs, and that is the air, the spiritual breath of God that breathes upon our life every day, that presence of God, that Spirit of God. You've got to protect that. You've got to keep vitality in it. So be it through our heart that pumps the vitality of blood, or be it through our lungs that propels the vitality of breath, Paul was simply saying, put on the breastplate. The breastplate is what is going to protect those vital organs of you spiritually. The breastplate is what is going to keep your heart pure. The breastplate is what's going to keep the breath of God that is going through this life. We've all been there, haven't we, where we have experienced something that we're trying to serve God. We're trying to do something for the Lord. But we're trying to do it and we've got known sin that is in our lives. And we've all been there because we know it just doesn't work. You can't serve God with any vitality when there is known sin in our life. How many of y'all are in the same flesh that I am in today? It's just a battle. It's a struggle to keep things right, to keep things pure in this life. And the truth is, and it is truly so sad, is that we will so often be intentional. I mean, we will intentionally let our guard down just to see how close we can get to sin without actually participating in sin. We'll just try to get as close as we can. Let me just dabble in sin just a little bit. We're trying to stop drinking. We're trying to stop smoking. We have a desire to do that or whatever else it might be. But yet we still go to the store and we walk down the aisle where we can see it, where we can even smell it, where we can just even reach out and touch the container of it. We're just trying to get as close as we can to those things. We are trying our best to break free of the recreational drug or whatever other addiction that we may have that today is even over-the-counter purchases that are addictions in our life, and we know that they are affecting our vitality for the Lord, and we're trying our best to break free of those things. But yet what we'll do is we'll keep the phone number of our buddy supplier in our phone, or we'll drive by their house from time to time just to say howdy to them, just because we went to school with them, we've known them for our whole life, and we're trying to get as close as we can without actually partaking. Young people today, and I'll even say adults as well,
They say that they want to remain clean and they want to remain pure until they get married, and they want to live a pure life, but yet they are intentional and they are allowing themselves to be put in circumstances and places that are compromising, and they allow themselves to go as far as they can without actually taking it to that actual level, getting as close to sin as possible. One of the greatest struggles in our day to day, and I'm very serious about this matter, is the matter of marriage. And what we're dealing with today in married couples, and it doesn't matter if you've been married 1 year or if you've been married 50 years, again, we're all living in the same flesh. And sometimes what we'll do is we want a godly marriage. We want to live a godly life as husband and wife together. But sometimes we will intentionally punch the buttons of the other one just simply to provoke them, and knowing all along that all it's going to do is lead to an ungodly argument, a sinful argument in our lives. You see, when we play these games spiritually, what we are doing simply is we are proving that we do not have on our breastplate. We're going straight up to the border of sin without really with the intent of going all the way into it, but don't you know that it'll usually lead to going all the way into it? But it is proof we do not have our breastplate on, because if we had our breastplate on, we would never play games with our purity and with our passion, our vitality for the Lord. You see, the breastplate is the armor of vitality. Secondly, the breastplate is the armor of positivity. The presence of positivity. As soon as a lady began unloading her groceries onto the conveyor belt, the checkout clerk excused herself and said, "I'll be right back." The customer continued to empty her grocery cart onto the conveyor belt, and not realizing as she was doing it that another customer had pulled into line behind her. And while the lady was unloading her grocery onto the counter there, she hears the voice of the woman behind her, and she says, "Pardon me, ma'am. Is this line open, or are you just being an optimist? Are you just being an optimist?" Now listen to me, church. Sometimes optimism, a positive attitude, we need to know it'll take us a long way. And the reason that you and I struggle so much in this spiritual battle that we are in, and I fight this in my life, surely you fight this in your life, is because we have such a downtrodden outlook on who we are. And there is no real optimism that we are a child of the living, the Most High, the only God. We need to know that as a child of God and as a believer, there are some things that we can be optimistic about. There are some positive aspects of this, and as we consider this matter of breastplate standard issue, and as we study it, we learn that the Roman soldier, they had some positivity that they had because of their profession, and we see it first with a positivity of cause. They were positive because of the cause that they were serving and the cause that they were living by. By growing up in Germany, I became very interested in World War II history, because it was literally everywhere that you looked. I mean, we lived in it. As a matter of fact, our church and the apartment we lived in the back of the church, Adolf Hitler built in 1939 to house his troops that guarded the Main River that was about 100 or so yards away. And you talk about a dump. Let me tell you, everything about that place was falling apart. But in the backyard of it, there was a bunker. Remember the bunker that was back there on the side of the property? There was a bunker. And I just developed an interest in German World War II history. We tried to dig up that bunker. We never could get through it. We tried our best. Me and my friends never could do it. We traveled and we saw all of the sights of Nazi Germany, and we even traveled to see Hitler's summer home in Berchtesgaden, the Eagle's Nest, and one of the most fascinating things you will ever see. But in this process, I learned that Adolf Hitler built his Third Reich Nazi empire by preaching his cause. And I use the word preaching because that's what he did. He preached his cause to his people. He motivated people around his cause, which caused them to respond in total loyalty to him, no matter how extreme his views may have been and how barbaric his views may have been. He maintained it through a relentless and a consistent propaganda campaign. And people fell into line with his cause that he had. In Hitler's own way, Hitler was successful in that. Now, when you take that and you compare it to ancient Rome, in this case some 2,000 years ago in the first century, we've got to remember that the Roman soldier had a critical and a key cause because they worked for the emperor, they worked for the Caesar that ruled the entire world. The Roman Empire ruled the entire world, and the way that they got there and the way that they maintained it so consistently and for such a long time was through them preaching their cause, indoctrinating their cause, and the leadership of the Caesars, the dynasty of it, the leadership of the Caesars, they indoctrinated their cause and they instilled it into the Roman people. So every time that this Roman soldier, every time that he would put on his armor, in this case he would put on his breastplate, he would be reminded of who he really was. He was a soldier in Caesar's empire. And he would be reminded that his cause mattered. And every time that he would put it on, it wasn't just to publish the cause, but it was to protect the cause of Caesar, even for generations to come in the future. Child of God, I hope you're listening to me today, because every time you and me as believers, every day that we wake up, every day that we put on our spiritual armor, every day we are given a fresh, brand new opportunity to do something in life, you need to know that it is not to go out and make your millions or goals for that. It is not to go out and pay your mortgage. It is not to go out and put food on your table, clothes on your back. All of those things are important, but remember what we studied it. If we seek you first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added to it. Your cause in life is to wake up every day and put on your armor to go out and be a soldier of Jesus Christ, to publish and protect the cause of the mighty kingdom of God. That is your job. That is your only job. The day you signed up, the day you got saved, was the day you surrendered to Caesar. You surrendered to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The only way that we are going to be able to effectively do this is if in those mornings that we wake up understanding that we are about to walk out into a battle. And we have got to arm ourselves in the armor of God. We have got to go out and we have got to publish His cause, not our cause. But we've got to know this. His cause is not as Hitler's was, and that was the murder of 6 million Jews or the brutality of world domination. No, that is not the cause of Christ. The cause of Christ, it is a positive cause. It is a cause of hope. It is a cause of mercy. It is a cause of grace. It is a cause of forgiveness. It is a cause of righteousness that you and I are supposed to go out and publish for the Lord. That is the cause, the reason so many of us listen, church, from here to through online right now. The reason so many of us keep falling on spiritual warfare and on the battlefield spiritually, it is because we are propagating and we are publishing our cause. It is the wrong cause. It is not God's cause. Therefore, we're not fully armed. And we're going out on the battlefield and we're fighting for the wrong things. One of the greatest days, Brother Daniel, that we will ever have in our spiritual life, it was when we realized He will fight our battles if we'll just fight His. Amen. Just be faithful to fight His battles. And so here we have the Roman soldier. The Roman soldier is putting on the breastplate, not just for vitality, but for positivity. A positivity of cause, but a positivity as well, get it now, of confidence. Just of confidence. Now, in my opinion, and you can disagree, and you can be wrong if you want to know. In my opinion, the sharpest, the classiest, the most eye-popping military uniform of our armed forces is the United States Marine Corps. When you look at them, you see it, and I mean, it just catches your attention. Now, I am told, I have never served in the Marines. Blake could have done it after running 100 miles. But I am told that one of the greatest moments in a Marine's life is the day that he puts on his dress blue uniform for the first time and stands in front of the mirror and he looks at himself. Because it is in that moment that it sinks into him that there is an American pride, that there is a patriotism. There is a confidence that comes over him. Why? Because he realizes that he is numbered among the few good men. He is known as the best of his day. And that's how it was with a Roman soldier as well. For when they would put on their breastplate, they would realize that decorated Roman breastplate. They would realize that they were at that point among the best. They would ooze with pride. There would be a confidence that would come over them, not just because of the physical vitality that it provided, but because of the emotional positivity that it gave as well. That positivity that let them know mentally that they were among the number one. They were the winners. They were the best of the best. They were world dominant in that time. So Paul, while he was sitting here chained up as a prisoner, he looks up and he says, my goodness, the child of God needs a breastplate to let them know that they are number one. He is not saying that we have got to do this with some type of a prideful chip that is on our shoulder, that we're better than anybody else. Never forget, church, you and I are not better than anyone else. We deserve hell. We deserve the very worst that hell could ever offer. But the difference is we met Jesus Christ one day. Paul saw these men. He saw them when they were off duty. He saw them when they were not armed in their uniform and their breastplate. And he realized this was a different group of guys during that time. There was some level of positivity or confidence that they did not have when they were unarmed. And they did not have on that breastplate. But when they put on the mark of Roman power, there was a confidence that came over them that was no doubt a cockiness, but it was a confidence that came over them. And Paul is saying we do not need a prideful chip. We do not need cockiness. But I tell you, the child of God needs some confidence. The child of God needs to know that their cause really does matter. Their cause does make a difference. They need to realize that they are in the army of God and they are fighting for the cause that is going to be an eternal cause. They are fighting for the cause that will still matter 10,000 and 10 million years ago from now. And they are saying that if you are going to bear the mark of heavenly power by putting on this heavenly breastplate, by putting on the cause of Christ through Him, through Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary, you really are number one. And though the world may not realize it just yet, but there is coming a day when you are going to be a winner. It seems like you're an underdog today, but there is coming a day when you as a believer will be a winner and you will help our Lord or be involved with our Lord as He rules this world in a King Jesus administration. Confidence. Do you have confidence in the cause? What are you really working towards spiritually?
I mean, do you really have that kind? I get so weary and so burdened with people that walk around. I mean, they're so down all the time. You've got to prime everybody to sing louder. You've got to prime everybody to have a smile on their face. We have lost our cause. We have lost our confidence. And when we are that way, we are proving that we are not fully armed, wholly armed in the armor of God. Breastplate. It is standard issue, and we are learning that breastplate, it is the armor of vitality. The breastplate, it was the armor of positivity. The breastplate, listen, is the armor of integrity. The presence or the picture of integrity. Now, there's some of you here wondering right now, there's no doubt. You know enough about Rome and the Roman soldiers to know that they were among the most brutal people in the world. They showed no mercy to anyone for just about anything. They'd chop your head off in a second. So you might be surprised when we hear me talk about integrity in relation to a Roman soldier. But we've got to remember in the context, the clock, and the culture of this, Paul is using an earthly example to make a spiritual application. Do not forget that. And folks, in their day, those big, those strong, those pristinely decked out and decorated Roman soldiers, in those days, they were the idol of most every little Roman boy that ran across town. They would see him and they would think, man, I want to be like them one day. Man, I want to be sharp like them. I want to be respected like them. I want to be numbered among number one. I want to be the evidence of Caesar's power and of Caesar's authority. They were the literal picture of order. They were the picture of power. They were the picture of success. And that breastplate was a part of that. And Paul says, my goodness, we need to run around with integrity as children of God. Not only do we put the breastplate on for vitality to protect the heart and the lungs. Not only do we do it for positivity to know that we work for the King of Kings in the heavenly government. But we do it for integrity. He teaches us this, first of all, on how that there was the integrity of righteousness. Now you'll look in your Bible and the Bible says again in verse number 14. He says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, if you write in your Bible, could I encourage you to underscore that word on? Many of us have a breastplate, but it's hanging in our closet. It's down in the basement collecting dust. You got to have on the breastplate. You've got to make an effort to adorn yourself in the mark of heavenly power. Every day, spiritually putting on that breastplate, guarding your heart and the breath of vitality that's going to allow you to be who God wants you to be. You've got to have on the breastplate of righteousness, this word righteousness that is given to us in this particular instance, it can be translated literally as right action. Right actions. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about this, and I told you we were going to expand upon it. Right wiseness, it meant a few weeks ago, but here in a different context, still meaning the same basic idea, it is right action. Now, this is where the Apostle Paul, he draws the distinction between the Roman breastplate and the righteous breastplate. Because the Roman soldier, who was loyal, at least we can say, to the Caesars, they knew nothing about integrity because they knew nothing about righteousness. So they could know nothing about integrity. The breastplate of righteousness, it actually teaches us, listen and follow me, God is righteous. God is always right. God always does everything just right. You and I may think he may need to do something differently. He may need to handle Iran differently. He may need to handle Hezbollah differently. He may need to handle Washington differently. No, no, no. God knows what he's doing. God is right. It is absolutely impossible for him to be wrong. But preacher, that tragedy that came into my life, you don't understand. God could not be a God of love
Why am I having to hurt so bad? It's causing me to not ever want to serve God again. No, no, no. That's a you and I problem. God does everything right. Righteousness. Just as God does everything the way that He does them and it being right. That is why you and I ought to pursue with our whole heart, with our very breath of vitality, that we must as well do everything right. Because of who we are in Him and what He has done on the cross for us. But we're not ever going to do everything right in this life. The difference between Jesus Christ and you and I that are here today is we are still living in the flesh of a filthy rag righteousness. And we are never going to get everything just right in this life. But what Paul was telling us is you put on your breastplate, and what will prove that you've really got your breastplate of righteousness on is just beneath that breastplate, there should be a surrendered heart to God. There should be an influx of the breath of God in that vitality of air that is blowing through our life. There ought to be a desire, though we know we're going to mess up, though we know we're going to fail, underneath that breastplate, our vital organs of the heart and the lungs, there ought to be something that says, come what may, by God's grace, I'm going to do what's right. Amen. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to please God. I'm not going to put myself in a situation intentionally to see how close I can get to sin. I'm going to do it right. And that's a sign that you know that you're on the right track because your heart is pounding to please God. The air within your spiritual vitality, it is flowing and it is being pumped throughout your body because you want to do what is right. You eat, you live, you breathe just to do what is right. If we are going to put on the breastplate of righteousness and become a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope you'll listen to me very carefully. And if we are going to be the one that represents the order and the power and the success of the heavenly government of God, we had better do it well. So that as we're walking out in this world, every little boy and girl that sees us through the life that we're living, that Jesus Christ will become the idol of their life, not you and me. And that it'll captivate the attention of every aged man and woman as they go through life. That righteous integrity of God will own and rule this world. Pull it together with me right now as we close. But an integrity of righteousness. But as we drill down deeper in it, and what a blessing this was to me, it leads to an integrity of reflection. An integrity of reflection. You see, the Roman breastplate, it was actually made of bronze. It was made of iron alloys. And then there was a decorative leather covering that would wrap around many of those legionnaires, those infantry elite foot soldiers of the Roman armor. But the leather wrapping did not cover it all. There were parts of the top, bottom, and the sides of that breastplate that were not covered. And so therefore, the bronze and the iron alloys would be exposed. Now follow me. And you got to keep in mind that Paul is down here. He's chained up. And so as you were walking by on a hot day throughout the Roman Empire, the sun that is shining every once in a while, that sunlight would catch that bronze, it would catch that iron alloy, and if it catches and it meets right at the right time and with your eyes, do you know what it would cause? It would cause even a temporary blindness, a dark spot blindness to the eyes that caught it as that Roman soldier would pass by their lives. Now you remember that Paul has got to be down right now. He's down and he's looking in all these different directions. And as he would look left, as he would look right, no matter where he looked, he was surrounded by Roman soldiers all the time. And so time after time after time, as he looked, he would have temporary dark spot blindness because the sunlight of the Middle East would catch that breastplate at the right time and it would cast that blinding light into his eyes. And Paul says, "Dear God, I want to have a breastplate on. Amen. I want to have a breastplate on that everywhere I go, there will be a righteous reflection of the integrity of Jesus Christ with every person that I come in contact with." It was with this that Paul said, "God, help us. God, help us to put on the breastplate, not just for vitality, not just for positivity, but for the integrity of Jesus Christ, that the righteous reflection of who He is will be seen through who I am, because I am who I am, because I identify with who He is." What a difference it would make in this world if while we were walking down the street, everybody that we passed would see the righteous reflection of the integrity of Jesus Christ as we walk past them. What a difference it would make if while we roll down our window to give that gospel piece of literature to somebody that we see that we have a burden for, that the righteous reflection of the integrity of Jesus Christ will be seen through the burden that we have for them. What a difference it would mean in this world if, as you and I as believers, saved people, when we sat down in a restaurant, the rest of the people in the restaurant and the servers and the managers and the people out sweeping the parking lot could look at our life and have that blinding darkness that would come over them, because there would be the righteous reflection of Jesus Christ and how we're sitting in a place we've got something to eat and the goodness of God. Amen. Just reflects off of our life and the righteousness of God takes over. Yes. Why is this so hard right now to live for God? Why? Ladies and gentlemen, children of God, Satan is doing everything he can to destroy the believer through the ugly reflection of our past. And there are those of us here today that will not surrender to the Lord because of the ugly reflection of our past. We're so messed up, we're so embarrassed because of our past. But what he is telling us is, Christian, put on the breastplate. If you just put on my breastplate, you will show my love. You will show my kindness. You will show my mercy. You will show my grace. You will show my righteousness. You will show my forgiveness. And it'll blind everybody that you come in contact with in this world. Miss Mickey, you can come on to the piano. During the days of the Caesars, by which we're talking about this era of time, first century and even beyond, did you know that the Roman guards, the Roman government, the Roman army, they had morning inspections? How many military men we got here right now? Do y'all remember some of the morning inspections that they would have when you served in the military? And what would happen is the sergeant of the guard, we can call them now, the centurion of the legionnaires, what they would do is they would come and they would line, the centurion would line up, and then all of those legionnaire, those elite foot soldiers, they would walk by and with their right fist, they would hit their breastplate. And as they did, it would give off a ringing noise. And as they hit the breastplate, they would shout the words, "Integritas, integritas, integritas." Which translated out of the Latin, it actually means to us, it means material wholeness, completeness. And so therefore, that centurion, that sergeant of the guard, what he would do is he would listen not only for each soldier to say integritas, but he would listen for that ringing noise.
to know that he was ready to go to battle if he needed to. He was secure. His armor was in place.
As time passed and as armor developed, you know, advancements developed, they no longer shouted integritas. But they would walk by and they would pound their breastplate. As they walked by, they would say, "Hail Caesar. Hail Caesar." And that simply signified, it signified that the heart of that legionnaire, it belonged to the imperial code of the ideals of Caesar. What did he do? He put on his breastplate. He put on the rest of his armor for the service of one man, for the cause of one man. I'm telling you, friends, I know that it's easy to get tied up in life. I do it all the time. But you've got to understand the reason you woke up this morning and God is the one that gave you life. It was for you to go out and in our own way say integritas, hail Caesar. We are arming our lives to go out for the service of one man, and that is the King of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you mark or bear the mark of heavenly power on your life today? One of the ways you know that you are armed with the full armor of God is when the first thing you think about in the morning, how good God's been. He's given me another day to wake up. He's given me a chance to go and bear the armor of the King of Kings, the Caesar of Glory. I'm going to go out today and I'm going to do my best. Nobody's going to have to twist my arm. Nobody's going to have to prime me. Nobody's going to have to tell me to go witness, to go to church, to give to God. My whole heart I give to Him. I'm armed for the service of one man. Let's stand to our feet on this Sunday morning. Thank you for your kind attention. We've learned about the Roman Empire today, and we've learned how it translates in our lives.